Bull Falls Radio, from Merrill to Mosinee, we're your home for news talk and sports on 98.9 FM and WXCO 1230 AM.
Well, if that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what will, because it's not going to be the dulcet tones of Pat Kreitlow and Jeff Smith in a couple of moments, I'll tell you that. It's Monday morning. This is Up North News. Going to be really nice after today. Thunderstorms in the far southern and eastern parts of the state at first, maybe some scattered showers after that, but then dry weather moves in for pretty much the entire week. Nice temps in the mid-70s to mid-80s. Before we get to Senator Smith, I want to share this little 1-2 punch, as seen in a post from our friend Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. First, he shares a headline from Wisconsin Public Radio. It says, Wisconsin school districts are asking voters this fall to approve a record $1.9 billion in extra spending authority through 70 referendum questions that will be on the ballots November 8th. Let me say that again. 70 school referenda around the state seeking almost $2 billion in extra property tax authority. So Dan adds what I'm sure you know I would be saying as well when he notes the state is sitting on $5 billion in surplus. And when he says the state, he does not mean Governor Evers. As we heard last week, he's got a plan. Republicans in the legislature are sitting on $5 billion of your money, hoping to do bad things with it next year instead of making good investments this year. These are the same people who had no hesitation to commit $4 billion of your money to Foxconn, which thankfully didn't all get used and wasted thanks to Governor Evers renegotiating a sloppy, flawed contract from Scott Walker. So these same people who were all set to spend $4 billion on a boondoggle are now sitting on $5 billion of your money, hoping to give that away to people whose bank accounts are definitely a lot fatter than yours and mine. So with that editorializing out of the way, we welcome my old friend Jeff Smith. How are you, man?
Hey, Pat. It's great to be here today. Monday morning. Great way to start the Monday.
It is. It's going to be a really nice week. Then we've got Labor Day weekend coming into it. One of the things I learned to appreciate district to district in the legislature is I had a very, apparently an unusual district. It was just the right size that in the summer, there's some kind of parade or community festival literally every weekend. There was never a weekend off. Instead, some weekends actually had two. And yet, if memory serves me, in my district, Labor Day weekend was one of the few where there wasn't much, but there were big things. You know, there were obviously little things everywhere, but no big community-wide festival. What's your situation? Do you have is Labor Day weekend like always booked up for you? I know Eau Claire always has some kind of a labor celebration, but what's the weekend look like?
Well, that's, you know, you hit it on the head there. There's not parades. We're kind of at the end of the parade season. We do have a couple of parades in September, but yeah, there were parades like two on the same day sometimes. And I have to admit, I'm not a parade fan.
get in line, pal, right here.
There were some parades were smart enough to say, If a politician wants to be in the parade, they got to give us $100. And I'd say, okay, I don't need to be in that parade. And I wish most of them would do that, because if the opposition wasn't there, I would be happy to not be there. But anyway, that said, my Labor Day really is based around Labor Day weekend is really based on Labor Day. Usually I go away for Labor Day weekend, but not on an election year, not on a campaign year. But there's in my district, I don't think there are parades or anything else until Monday.
Yeah. You know, the thing with parades, you and I know we can talk all day about the pros and cons of parades and how you might change things with or without politicians. I've argued somebody, and I think maybe one town has done this, well, you would do well to have the reverse parade where you tell all the various units, you park right here on Main Street or Bridge Street or wherever, and you just park right there, and it'll be more like a street fair. People can come up and down, and if they want to see you, they'll see you, and if they don't want to see you, they'll just walk on by. It's one way to get rid of some of the jeering and some of the other, you know, mess that comes along with it. So there's my free idea for any town that
I actually did that a couple times this year.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I have the opportunity because I have the truck with the sign and, you know, just set that up and I'm good to go.
Well, let's talk about that. The truck and the sign. For folks who don't know, Jeff, sometime back, created an interesting little franchise. Previously, what you might call office hours or constituent meetings were done. Either you would say, get some space in a community hall or maybe in a coffee shop or diner. You'd maybe put a little ad in the local paper saying, you know, come meet your legislator on, you know, Wednesday from 8 to noon, you know, at such or such a place. And, you know, fewer and fewer people would come to it. People that did were oftentimes people that wanted to give you a hard time. Jeff has put a unique spin on that. Instead, much like you hear about, you know, pop-up stores, these are pop-up meetings with your state senator. Tell folks what you do and how that all got started.
Yeah, you know, the normal version, like you just described, I felt like I was hiding inside of a restaurant or a town hall or someplace when people were zipping by outside. So it just finally, I decided I need to be out there. And I fashioned this sign. It's 6 feet wide, and 4 feet high or tall. And then I put it on the roof of my truck, fold it down when I'm driving down the road, and I fold it up or put it back up with a couple flags to get attention on particular places where I know people could pull over safely on service roads and but busy highways. And I call it mobile office hours, but of course it's referred to as the stop and talk because that's what the sign says, stop and talk to Senator Jeff Smith. So generally, Pat, before this past year, the vast majority of people who stopped were people who had opposing views. And that was really good for all, for them and me. I learned a lot, you know, and they would learn too that we're not so far apart. We actually want the same things. Just the way politics is supposed to work, that we want to get to the same goals. We just have to figure out how to get there. But over the past year, as most everyone has felt, I think, that has changed. And people are more likely, if they're opposing views, to stop and be more robust about their opinions. While and it's disappointing, really disappointing. There are still people who will stop and tell me things such as, I've always voted the other way, but I'm really questioning my party now. So that's encouraging as well. So at the doors, I just had a couple of people yesterday when I was knocking on doors say that, you know, I'm a Republican and I'm going to vote Republican, but I sure like that idea of you being out there like that. So they know it. They've seen me around, and it does have an effect that we're all not the same, as they like to lump us into a category of politician. You know,
we're talking to Senator Jeff Smith, who was written up in Washington Monthly magazine earlier this year in part for this whole notion of having this stop and talk mobile office hours that you know show up where somebody can see a sign, see their state senator parked right there, you know, on the road in a parking lot, wherever, and you know, bring up any questions or bring up any concerns, anything like that. And it gets to a couple of points that we've talked about with some of our other guests recently. The need for and the benefit of these conversations with people, these organic conversations where people will not always agree with one another, but they're talking to one another in a civil fashion. That's one thing that we've talked about. And the other has been the very real split in the Republican Party between those who are continuing like lemmings to march off the cliff with Donald Trump and those who are starting to have second thoughts. So all of this was captured in the Washington Monthly magazine because of the note that you are in a very purple district and understand that you don't win elections, you don't win re-election, and you don't build trust just with political ads and political mail. You actually have to be a real person right out there on the streets.
Yeah, exactly right. My district statistically is favors Republicans slightly. For me to win, I have to be human. I have to humanize myself so that those who may have questions about my party affiliation can stop and realize that, hey, you know, I can vote for this person. He's reasonable. I I've been using that word more and more often, that instead of labels like liberal or progressive or moderate or conservative, how about reasonable? Let's just try to be reasonable with each other.
Well, that is a tall order, shall we say, in politics today, where it seems more things are essentially black or white all the time and not shades of gray. So when you say that some people are being more robust when they stop and talk with you, it sounds to me more like they want to talk at you. And in what area do they most want to do that?
It's, you know, of course, it's Biden is ruining this country, and Trump should still be our president. And what do you think about the elections? And as soon as I say they were fair, they get rather difficult. That they think that it wasn't fair. You know, that it's the usual thing that you all understand. But you know, it's all the way up and down from their elected officials on down. They've enabled this whole thing to get out of control like it is. And I think they've got the tiger by the tail. But you know, when Pat, you and I had the opportunity to serve in the majority in 2009 and 10, when we were chairs of committees, that as it turns out statistically, the Democrats held hearings on 80% of the bills Republicans introduced, along with our own bills. This group, the statistic is less than 5%. 5% of bills introduced by Democrats get a public hearing by Republicans. That has a huge impact on people not hearing other ideas or possible solutions to the troubles that they face.
It's the bubble. They've been in a media bubble that tells them that the election was rigged and that, you know, Hunter Biden is the Antichrist and, you know, everything that goes with it. And so consequently, they also don't feel a need to not only consider other points of view on their radio talk shows and on their cable TV channels, but even in legislation, in listening to other ideas in committee. What's that been like in committee when, again, your bills aren't taken up, but you certainly, I'm guessing, try to ask some questions or make some points. What's that been like?
Well, this is really shocking to a lot of people, and I explain it to them. So you know how a bill goes through. You have a public hearing. That's when the public speaks and we all listen. We don't have debate. The next step is to have an executive hearing, which is where we can introduce amendments and have debate over the bill. They've skipped that now in the state Senate. It started in 2019, even before the pandemic, where they passed out paper ballots. So we don't even have a chance to debate or introduce amendments. And there is no back and forth about any ideas at all. It's democracy's not being served.
No, it's pretty much on autopilot that the majority party is not here to discuss or debate or consider or modify. As the truck traffic picks up here, my apologies if you hear the noise. And so when we come back, we're going to pick up our conversation with Senator Jeff Smith, pick up on that notion of the budget surplus that I was talking about earlier, right after this. You're up north.